tech team's putting in. So we're going to introduce ourselves really quick, and then I just want y'all to quickly say your name, what church you're from, and what you do for the church, or if you're a volunteer, what you do for a living. So my name is Rob Wolford. I am the creative director at New Life Church. I'm over a lot of things like visual, graphic design, web design. My background's in graphic design. I went to Old Dominion. That's where I got my degree in graphic design. I lived in Dallas for a few years working for ad agencies, you know, doing that kind of stuff. Man, you tired, huh? It's like, so he's got a newborn, so it's fair. Your body doesn't even know what to do with all this sleep you've been getting while you're here. So, that's a little bit about me. I've been working for New Life for a little over 10 years. That's me. I've had a million different roles at the church, as probably a lot of y'all who work for church realize that sometimes your roles change a lot. My roles changed, I think, like 7 or 8 times in the 10 years. So I think I'm almost at sitting in the longest time I've been in one role. So, hooray.
Hi, everyone. My name is Terry. I started my career in television. I worked for CBN, the Christian Broadcasting Network, for about 7 years as a features producer. And so I traveled and I traveled with the crew, but I had the opportunity to interview people and bring the interview back and edit their pieces to show in the 700 Club. I did that for 7 years, and then I started working with New Life, and I've been with New Life for about 8 years, and my role there is a communications director. And I am basically, I do a lot of things, but particularly all digital media. I don't do all digital media, it's not true, because he's our social media. But I help with digital media. I'm currently working with Pastor Tina. We are launching an online campus at the end of October. I'm also over video production and editing and things for all of our 4 campuses, so.
What's going on, guys? I'm Sydney. I am over social media, like Instagram, Facebook, stuff like that. And I do photography, some website stuff. I've been with New Life for 4 months now. My career in social media and photography started as a landscaper when I was volunteering with youth ministry. And somebody has to do it. So I had to learn, but I'm excited about the session. It's gonna be good.
So, for y'all's sake, I won't make y'all use the mic. But can we just start in the back here, and we'll work our way like through this section and then that section. So, welcome, guys. We're just introducing ourselves. Go ahead. Awesome. Well. Like I said when I was talking to the wrong side of the room earlier, that I do want to spend a good chunk of this time answering any specific questions y'all may have, because I know that every church represented here has a different size, has a different demographic they're trying to reach, and both those two equations will dictate how you tackle a lot of things. You know, a church that is... their social, I'm assuming, who in here has a paid staff position for social media on their church? Okay, that's kind of what I thought.
Who in here wants one?
Yeah. So obviously even that detail, you know, having someone on staff versus having a volunteer is going to affect how you tackle, you know, the big world of social media and just digital mediums as a whole. You know, I think there are, if my math's correct, I think there are 168 hours in the week, right? So let's just say the average church service in this room is 1.5 hours. So you have 166 and a half hours that you're, in essence, not reaching your congregation. Your website, your social media, your email newsletters, those are an easy way to create an interaction with your congregation those 166 some odd hours of the week. So this is very important, right? Because it's a lot more. Your website, for example, is an open door to your church. Your office hours are only, you know, 9 to 5 roughly. You're only going to have a receptionist there answering the phone at a certain time. People are going to be searching for church outside of that time, right? So your website, I'm just going to drop a few little nuggets and then pass the mic off to one of them and let them do the same thing. So, but your website is the open door to the church. I don't care if anyone tells you social media is more important. I don't agree. I'm opinionated, so I'm just going to say things very definitively. Please disagree with me. I would love to be challenged, and that's awesome. But I think your website is the most important thing. If your website doesn't show who you are and give the basic information of how to get a hold of you, how to get to service, etc., you're probably not doing that correctly. So make sure that you put effort into the website first, right? So if you have limited volunteer time, focus your time into making sure your website is good, right? Secondly, with social media, there's obviously a lot of different social media platforms. You have Facebook, you have Instagram, you have Twitter, you have TikTok, you have, those are kind of the big ones right now. Other ebbs and flows of, you know, Snapchat still sometimes, depending on the demographic and who you're reaching. But focus on one, right? So one thing I see, especially churches that don't have a staff position or aren't super large, they try to make their Twitter A+, they try to make their Facebook A+, and they try to make their Instagram A+. We'll just talk about those three because those are kind of the big three. And by doing that, you're really shooting yourselves in the foot. Because it's really, even if you have a full-time, multiple full-time people focusing on social media, it's difficult to do all three of those things well. So really, pick one. So know your audience, right? So I would say if you're primarily a younger church, let's just say 35 and under, I would put your eggs in the Instagram basket. If you're, you know, in the 30 to 55, 60-ish range, put your eggs in Facebook. Twitter is kind of its own beast. So I really recommend focusing, my opinion would be to recommend to focus on Facebook and Instagram first. Twitter it requires a lot more work than the other platforms as well. So I really, until you're at a place where you feel like you've got one of those two good, I really wouldn't focus on Twitter. So know your audience, know the age group that you're shooting for, because let's be real, you know, younger people tend to hang out on Instagram and more middle-aged people tend to hang out on Facebook. So you want to pick one. Don't I know they're both owned by Facebook. I know they're both similar in a lot of ways. Don't try to do both unless you really feel like you can and if you're focusing on Facebook and you have a volunteer who's like, I want to run with Instagram, I got this, you know, maybe that is worth going down that road. But really know your audience and pick a lane and stay in it and be consistent. So social media is not something that happens overnight. You're not going to build up your audience overnight. You're not going to have, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and thousands of likes and shares and all that overnight. It just does not work that way. You know, the name of the game is consistency. So you're going to want to post regularly, you know, find what niche of time works for your audience. You know, there's common rules of thumb, but those are, I don't really think they matter. You got to know what works for you. Often, you know, during breakfast time is a good time because people are, you know, throwing down some cereal and they're scrolling through Facebook or whatever, or at the end of day, you know, right after dinner is a good time because people are kind of detoxing and winding down. Those are kind of general rules of thumb, but really, you got to know what works for you guys. Everything okay? Go ahead. So I'll just step over here and draw the attention to me. Look over here. So know your audience. I've lost my complete train of thought now. Go ahead. Yeah. So you want to. So if you're not scheduling out your posts, number one, I know that's really rudimentary, but you can schedule them if you're not. Some people think you have to post them and they have to happen when you post them. That's not the case. And inside of all of the platform, well, not Instagram, but on Facebook, you can actually schedule out your posts. Not a problem. There are,
Do you use Hootsuite?
Or do I use Hootsuite? We used to use Hootsuite. Hootsuite is a great resource for if you want to keep all of your social media platforms in one place and manage them all in one place for free or relatively free, Hootsuite is definitely probably the place I would recommend to start. But it's not very Instagram friendly. So if you're focused on Instagram, I recommend Schedulegram. I think it's, how much does Schedulegram cost? Do you know how much it costs? Is it $20? It's like $20 a month, and it lets you schedule out your Instagram posts, and it even lets you schedule out Instagram stories as well. It's like Schedugram. Schedugram.
Them later, and it's awesome, and it's working for both.
Yeah.
Right now, and it's like super Apple friendly.
Sure.
You know what I mean? To drag and drop, it's very low on cost.
Yeah, I mean, later is a great. Later, there are a ton of these. I don't even know what they're called anymore. There's like these social media dashboards. Basically, there are quite a few of them.
It's kind of the same way that he's talking about Facebook and Instagram, trying to figure out which social media platform works best for your church. The scheduling platform is the same way. So, like, I don't want you guys to think that because we're saying a specific app or a specific platform for scheduling that it would work best for your church. Like, we have a bigger church that has multiple thousands of people, so that may work better with what we do. Something else may work better with your church. So you guys know your audience and your church more than we would. I guess we would just suggest to take some time, do some research, and look at the pros and cons of both, and just or whatever, whichever platforms that you have that they have to offer, and figure out which one works best with that. I'm going to let Terry talk.
When Rob was sharing, I just wanted to say this. There is absolutely no formula for how you post on social media. And particularly with Facebook, like we found out that three things that work for New Life Church, and maybe Sydney can pull it up as I'm talking, is our congregation responds to quotes from Pastor Dan's messages. They respond to worship lyrics. They respond to prayer graphics. Like those are the top three photos that our congregation responds to. And if a picture of Pastor Dan goes up and there's a quote, we're guaranteed, I mean, there's 200 plus likes. Like people are engaging, they're sharing, they're commenting and things like that. Yeah.
You said they respond to Pastor Dan's quotes and to worship lyrics. And what was the third thing? I
didn't get it. Prayer post. Like often Sydney will post something. He'll say, hey, how can we pray for you today? Write it in the post. And then okay, people thanks. Are bing, 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 bing. And then we're in there responding that way. But,
Thank you. So this quote, is it leading to something further if they click on it, like notes or anything like that?
No.
Well, go ahead.
We're encouraging the congregation to engage. And not even so much our New Life congregation, because we have a lot of people who follow us who don't attend New Life. But they're engaging, and we want them to take the message outside of New Life into the world, right? And so people will come in here, and they'll share, and they'll even tag their friends. Hey, Cindy, this is the prayer from New Life Church. We're praying for you. And then they'll tag their friends, and then they'll share it, and they'll share it. That's really, it's a lot about engagement. It's not so much as, hey, we're just going to post this random quote from Pastor Dan today, but we're thinking through what we're posting. We're thinking through the prayers that we're asking people to write in. That is the content, yes.
The key if you had to boil down social media to the basic of basic thing, it's social media. So the whole key is to get people to engage with the content, to socialize around the content. The one thing I see churches do wrong the most is that they treat their social media page as a bulletin board. Yeah. It's not an announcement platform. Not saying you can't announce things, but that's not the primary goal. The goal of it is to engage people. So if you post, like Terry was saying, if you post a quote from your senior pastor who preached that Sunday, it's one, it's reinforcing the message from the Sunday, so it's accomplishing, you know, something spiritual, but it's also going to engage conversation because people are like, oh, that was so good, or oh, I missed that. Is there a link to the video or the podcast or whatever? And then another thing, you know, that I think is with churches, another thing I see is we tend to take ourselves a little too seriously. You know, memes are a really big thing. If you go on social media at all, you're going to see memes all over. So post memes on your social media pages. There's nothing wrong with that. You want to be approachable. You want to look like a normal, you don't want to look like you're holier than thou and we only post like Bible verses and like make some fun. Like have some fun about showing up to church on time or, you know, I don't know. There's some fun things you can do, and I really, really encourage don't take yourself too seriously. You can look at any church that I think does social media really, really well, and they make light of situations. Like, have some fun. So,
take some time to learn your congregation. Like, ask questions, post a picture, and say, hey, do you like blah, blah, blah? Like, just take time. I want Sydney to actually show a meme that he posted on our page. We've learned our congregation, so we're we kind of know that people who are following us on social media are not actually younger people. I would say that the demographic is probably maybe 30 to 40. That sounds like that's old. That's not old. But you would think it'd be teenagers and 20-year-olds. That's not what I'm saying. But it's a little older than most would think. But Sydney, when he posted this meme, it was the first time that we'd ever posted a meme on our page, but it worked. Thank you. So while he's finding that, does anyone have any questions?
Yeah, so actually two questions. One, at the beginning you said it's good, unless you really feel confident or you have somebody else who's going to head it up, not to do both Facebook and Instagram. I'm not too familiar with Facebook. I try to avoid it at all costs, actually. But Instagram, I know that when you make a post, it allows you to post to the different social medias with that exact same post. All you have to do is hit the buttons, and it says you can post to Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr. Would you not recommend doing the same post on both social medias?
It depends on your congregation. It depends on where they are. It works for us. But if you're a smaller congregation and you know that that's where they are, then it probably won't be as beneficial. It'll just be more work for you. But then unless you want them on both platforms, you could start throwing to Facebook. Hey, guys, you know, I know you're on Instagram, but on Facebook, meet me at 7 p.m. or meet us at 7 p.m. We're going live with today's prayer or something like that. Yeah.
Just a follow-up. It can't hurt to check the box and have it share on Facebook as well if you don't have the reason. It's like I would say posting, even if it's repeated across platforms, is better than not posting. If that's what if that's what you have, if you don't have the ability or the resources to spend time to do that. But if you can avoid it, like if you have the means and the ability to craft different posts for different platforms, then do it. Because each platform really is its own thing. Like you traditionally, the way you would post something on Instagram, the content and how it's written, that's not going to be identical to the way you would want to do that for Facebook, and it's definitely different from how you'd want to do Twitter. So if you have, it's better to, like, if that's what you have, do it. Check the box, share them across platforms. It's not going to hurt. But if you can avoid it and you have the bandwidth, then create unique content for each platform.
She has a question. Okay, sorry, just one more thing.
Sure.
Also, you said, like, it's better to post after dinner because that's when people want. Does it really matter about the, like, obviously, like, that's going to be top of the post because you just posted it.
Sydney.
Okay, so With social media, and I didn't really know this until I came in, it changes. So like every month, especially with Instagram, they change who sees your posts, like why they see your posts. Currently, it's basically called an algorithm. Right now, currently the algorithm with Instagram is it's based upon your engagement. So if you ever wonder why, like, your Aunt Sally, who you never like their posts or comment, you don't see any of their stuff until you're heavily scrolling. It's a combination between the fact that you don't either engage with their stuff. So Instagram is focusing. Instagram wants to keep you on their platform as long as possible. So it's going to put the posts that belong to the people that you engage with the most to keep you on. It's also going to prioritize influencers. So let's say you follow Elevation Church. That's why you always see Elevation first. Even if you've never liked a Stephen Furtick post, it's going to show his stuff first because it thinks, hey, you have these things in common. You post about God. He posts about God. And he has a million comments. Maybe you'll like this. I would encourage you guys to try to pay attention to, like, my young man in the back that said, he really doesn't know much to do or much about what he can do in the church. If you could pay attention to trends and what happens, especially in the younger world, if it's happening in the younger world, chances are it's happening in our culture as well. I know that a lot of times in church, we tended to shy away from millennials. But the truth is that millennials are like that 39 now and below. We're pretty much the church. So we had fun with this post. With the face app. These are all of our pastors. And there's Rob. On purpose, I did not post any women because I didn't want to die. I think when it comes to social media, the thing that I've learned from social media with church is trying to meet your members where they are. So if the end goal is to establish spiritual habits in their lives on a daily basis and to become a community in the process, how can we get our community talking? Does anyone, because I know this has been us, but has anyone ever noticed that, like, it doesn't matter what you post, you always get like 2 or 3 comments? And it's always like the most random post that gets comments. I'd encourage you guys to check it out. His name is Brady Shearer. He's a pastor in Canada. Pro Church Tools. He talks a lot about Instagram, a lot about Facebook, a lot about social media, website stuff. Their whole mission statement is to try to engage the community. One of the best ways that we found to engage the community is just to simply ask questions. Questions that have nothing to do with church. Because the truth of the matter is if you can get your community talking and you build a habit of talking, then once you get to a place where you actually ask a question about your pastor, hey, what'd you get out of the pastor's sermon this past weekend? The habit and the routine of talking is already there. So we've been asking questions, and our most recent question was, what's your favorite dog breed? It got a lot of engagement, but Facebook got the most. Nope. Just a question. Just trying to get people talking. Truth of the matter is that, like, our church is a community. It's made up of a ton of different people. And when was the last time that we say we love your family? When was the last time anybody said that they loved their dog? We all have those people who love their animals. They love their kids. I'm going to make a post soon that says, post a picture of your family. Here's another meme we made. Don't be like Robin. Protect your face and be in church this weekend. I mean, this one had some comments. Yes.
Okay. So can you like break down the science of this a little bit and just explain like how the hashtags and how the ads all like interrelate with each other? Because right. what we're really looking at is data. And so I just want to better understand how they're all interrelated.
One more time. Here, what was it again? I'm sorry. What was it again?
So I just basically want to understand the science of it, because and how like the hashtags and the ads and all the Facebook pages all interact with each other, because we like what we're really looking at is data. And so how is this all driven and interconnected?
It depends on what platform you use. So really the hashtags, when you boil it down, if you're into interior decorating and you go on Instagram, you type in hashtag interior decorating, it's going to pull stuff up. But when was the last time you went onto Facebook and you searched any hashtag? So it's really up to what platform you use. Instagram, I listen to Gary Vee. I know he has potty mouth, but he does have a lot of insightful information. And something that he uses for his business that other people have used and it's worked is you can use 30 hashtags. I know it seems like a lot, but if people own businesses that are doing social media better than we are, we should be able to take some of their tools and use them for the glory of God. So he suggests to use the 10-10 rule. 10-10-10 rule. So use 10 hashtags that are in your niche that are like above 10 million. 10 that are, I think you said, between 1 million and 10 million, and then 10 that are below 10 million. And what I've begun doing with our social media is I've taken out that 10 that are above 10 million, because basically what it's saying is you have, if somebody's typing in a hashtag for churches and there's 10 million posts that have that hashtag on it, that means that there's, you have to take a chance that somebody's going to click on your post out of all that or see it. I've taken that 10 million, above 10 million out, and I've just put like Virginia Beach or Suffolk or Chesapeake, whatever is near you. So you would do Harrisonburg, whatever cities are around you, so that let's say you're talking about a prayer post and you say, how can we pray for you today? Someone in the town 2 miles down the road types in their hashtag and finds your post. That's how that works. So I think like the science behind it, it really comes down to engagement for Instagram and Facebook. The hashtag thing is really up to chance, if you want to be honest.
And with the ads, like tagging people, again, like you said, the name of the game is engagement. So you tag people so that they see it, so that they interact with it, so therefore, like the algorithms are... So basically, if Terry posts something, right, and tags me, and I like it, and then since Sydney follows me, he saw that I liked it. It's now, and then it's like a chain reaction in a sense. I'm kind of oversimplifying it, but that's pretty much how it works. So now I'm not telling you on every single one of your posts tag every single one of your followers, because you're going to annoy everyone and they're going to unfollow you. That's not what to do. But when there is something that it makes sense, that's why you do tag people, because it's just another way to multiply the engagement, because it's all multiplication, it's not addition. So it gets really big really quick if done correctly.
So I know you guys stream your services. Yes. And so what I'm trying to find out is, what's your philosophy on how you interact with the people you stream to? Because when the service is going on, if somebody posts something, how do you respond to them, and who follows up, and how often do you follow up with the people who post when you stream?
I think that's that's all me. So you're asking how do we engage with the followers during a live stream? We're currently building what we call host teams. So right now, if you all are watching us live and you kind of see New Life Church respond to things, that's typically me. It may be one other person, like maybe Pastor Tina or someone else who's logged in as a New Life user. But because we're building an online platform, I'm super attentive to who's posting now, who's asking a question, who's asking for prayer. We get a lot on a typical Sunday, because we stream every Sunday our entire service. We get probably people write in, hey, I'm watching from Hong Kong. Hey, can you pray for me? I just had surgery. Hey, I'm watching from Oregon. Hey, I'm watching from Illinois, you know, and these things are happening. Can you stand with us in prayer? Or we're excited to be here. And so I'm in there saying, hey, we're standing with you. We're praying for you. Thank you so much for watching from Oregon. How is it going there? Or, you know, and so there's conversation happening. And our pastors are also really good with saying, especially Pastor Joel, he'll say, hey, online, you know, people, if you're watching me, I like to say shuck a duck. So put a duck in the chat. And then you'll see people putting ducks in the chat, you know, and then I'm in there putting a duck in the chat, you know, just keeping the conversation going. Because for our online campus and platform, it's really about the conversation. We want people to talk. We want people to not only just know Jesus, but engage with us, sort of like you would in a typical congregation. Hope that answers your question.
Yeah, so you said you know your audience now. Can you just explain a little bit about your process of figuring that out? Like how long it took and some of the techniques you did to learn a little bit?
Probably say I shouldn't have said we know, because our audience is changing. We're learning our audience. But I'll let Sydney answer that.
I would suggest to make a timeline. So say for the month of October, these are the posts that I'm going to post. And Terry, help me out with this, because as a creative and a social media person, if I don't write things down, like, they're all over the place. So I've written down ahead of time what posts I'm going to make on what day. And then go in and actually pay attention to who liked your posts. Did it get any engagement? Was it shared? And after that month, you should see a trend. So let's say every week you post a prayer post, you post a quote, you ask someone a question, and let's just say two other things that fall within your church's, how you guys operate. You should be able to figure out some sort of trend. And as that trend starts to develop, you can start to now develop your social media marketing plan towards that. If that makes sense. Yeah. 100%. 100%. And the thing is, like, they told me they went to Inside Elevation last year. They asked their social media team basically questions. And they said that there's really you can't do anything wrong on social media. I mean, obviously, there's, you can. Yes, but there's nothing wrong with trying. The more you try, the more you step out, the more you do things that are outside of the box, the more you're going to find that at the end of the day, these people are people and they want to be engaged. They want to connect with you as a church outside of a Sunday service. And how can we make that happen? That's where the trial and error comes in.
And if you back up, like, even to, like, 10,000 feet, right? You know your church a little bit just from your Sunday services, right? So you know their sense of humor. You know what they'll laugh at and what they won't. You know, you'll know by looking at the color of the hair on their head, you know, I'm just being real, like, what the age range is in your congregation. You know, you're going to know if you're working with youth, you know your demographic. Like, you can use some common sense and step back 10,000 feet before you even get to that point, because I think the trial and error point is one of the kind of the final phases. You want to step back and know, like, okay, well, like, we know, like, Pastor Dan can be a little bit funny. Like, he'll tend to cut up a lot. So we, with knowing that, we feel a lot more freedom to make jokes on social media. Now, if that wasn't Pastor Dan's temperament and the congregation wasn't used to that, we would probably, you know, pull the reins on that one a little bit, and we'd have to feel out more. So you want to obviously also echo a little bit of the temperament of your leadership, because that's what your congregation's used to seeing. So step back and just use your eyes too, you know, and use your church databases. All of y'all have, I'm assuming, a database of some kind. You can look at demographics and things there too. That's a great starting point, especially if you're like, I have no clue where to start. So if you can look at your database and look at your age ranges and your diversity of just where people are in that setting as well.
Can I show you guys really quick one thing that, like, really helped me with social media? The biggest thing that helped me with social media with our church was to literally not, I had to unfollow because I'm a big like comparison person, especially when it comes to like presenting our church in a way that I feel is going to reach the community. I, on my personal account for a season, like I had to unfollow Elevation. I had to follow Hillsong. Because the truth of the matter is that like all I see are numbers. And those numbers, I think, well, because this person is getting 50,000 likes on his thing, maybe I need to post Pastor Dan preaching. The truth is that God has gifted Stephen Furtick with the ability to communicate in a way where it may come across really well on social media. Maybe you're in a church where your pastor's communication style won't communicate well on social media. I think the age we live in with comparison has brought us to a point as a church where we now use our Sunday services and what's communicated on a Sunday almost like a crutch, meaning like we've lost creativity because now, well, if I post a quote and two short snippets of my pastor preaching, my week's good. We have to just, I encourage you guys to look at social media through fresh eyes. And I'm praying that God just even breathes like fresh creativity over you. Don't get discouraged by likes or comments, because the truth of the matter is that the average ratio that you should be receiving, that's what they say, that you should be receiving per post on likes is 10%. 10% of your followers are, so a lot of churches are actually doing better than the average. Elevation has 1 million followers, and I don't care which one of these things that we click, it's hard to get 100,000 likes or views on anything. I haven't looked, but we're going to look and see how they scale to the 10% rule. Because sometimes we look through the lens of numbers and we see a high number, but truthfully it would be 100,000. Not saying they're doing it wrong, but I'm just saying. So let's just say this. Okay, so he has 60,000 plays, he has 2,000 likes, it has 25,000 views, it has 54,000 plays, 22,000. So you may be doing better than you think you are in the scheme of your church and how your church is doing. I just wanted to encourage you guys with that.
And one last thing on comparison, because something I think that's really important is comparison, you know, it can be the thief of joy, but comparison also, I think, sometimes can be wisdom, because you have to look to people who are doing things right. But so one thing I did, even with like graphic design still, I find two or three churches that I feel fit, like they kind of align with New Life. Like I love Elevation, and I look to Elevation, but Elevation is not who we're trying to be. So I don't pull too much from Elevation. So I found two or three churches that are bigger than New Life that I feel like theologically and directionally line up with us, and then I look up to them, not for comparison, but as inspiration. And then I find two or three churches that are similar in size to us, that again somewhat align to the things and goals that we may be having. And then I compare them, because that's more for me, just that's more of an A to A comparison kind of, so I can gauge myself. And then you can look at Elevation and those big Hillsong and all those, but I mean realistically, I don't know if that's really who any of our churches are trying to be. So I think it's good to be inspired by them, but take it in small doses. So lots of questions. We got two up here, one over there.
I've got two questions.
Okay.
First question is, can you talk a little bit about organic engagement over paid engagement and what the ratio between those should be? Maybe even throw out maybe some realistic budget numbers for social media, if you can.
Sure. So organic engagement is obviously more difficult to get, but that's, again, look, you know, knowing your church's budget, knowing your church's your ability to, you know, have a staff person or volunteers to do this, your organic engagement is going to be your bread and butter. You're going to have to do everything you can to make that what you do. Obviously, you all know your church's budget to some extent. If you're making the decisions to do a paid ad, right? So a paid ad is not what everyone thinks they are. So it's not like I'm paying for this and everyone's seeing it. It's I'm paying for this, and then while you're paying for this, they ask you, like, they have like a really long questionnaire, not literally, but it's kind of like a big form you're filling out. Okay, who are you targeting? What age demographic? What Facebook pages do they like? What radius from what zip code? What? So you're narrowing it down really, really extravagantly to a tight window, because you want it to be targeted. The broader you get, the less people are going to see it. So you're going to have to, before you ever pay for anything, have a goal in mind. You know, so we have Easter service coming up. We want to target young families. We want young families in our church for Easter. So then you're going to structure the post to fit that target, so it narrows it down, so your money is actually going somewhere logically. Because if you keep it broad, yeah, people are going to see it, but people are going to see it that don't matter. I don't mean in a mean way, but they don't matter to what you're trying to accomplish, and it's going to be just like throwing money away. And it's not a lot of money. I mean, honestly, money goes a long way for Facebook ads. Like, if you put $20 on something, that's going to give it some oomph, especially if you're really targeted. If you put, I mean, for example, we only do paid ads for like our big, you know, Easter, Christmas, our month of prayer, those kinds of things. Am I overspeaking here? No? Okay, cool. I'm just making sure I'm not speaking incorrectly. And outside of that, we let everything go organically, and we still rank in the Hampton Roads area, because you can look and see where you compare against other churches and things like that. Amongst the other big churches in the Hampton Roads area, we rank just up with them, and we don't pay a ton. And we know, like, I know one of those churches, they put a ton of money into paid ads. So I don't think, I mean, paid ads are great, but just be smart about them. Don't just be throwing all of your marketing budget into them without having a plan in place. I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah.
Everything that Rob said, and also language is important. Even though you're paying for an ad, your page is not a business page. If you're advertising for your Easter service, or not even for Easter, let's just say you're advertising for something and you say, hey, come to blah, blah, blah campus at 6 p.m. So what Facebook recognizes is you're promoting a business. And so because you're not a business page or your language doesn't match what they're doing, you think, hey, I put $25 behind this post, so 200 people are going to see it. But Facebook actually takes that and it minimizes, so maybe only 6 people will see it. And we've actually learned that through trial and error. You know, it's not like we just know all of this, but we learned it through trial and error. So make sure that whatever you're putting money behind, that your language, and it just, this comes with research, that your language matches. You're not overly promoting your event. I guess I should say that.
Yeah. Facebook and Instagram don't want ads on their pages. So you want to make it feel as organic as possible. As natural as possible. So if you're inviting, we'll use Easter event, for example. If you're doing a paid post and you're inviting people to your Easter service, you're gonna want to make it sound like an invitation, like you're talking to the person next to you, kind of, and not like a, hey, 6 o'clock, this address, this, they're gonna see that and they'll kill it with their algorithm. So here's the tricky thing of the picture. There is a limit. Facebook, like, so when you upload your picture, they'll actually scan it, and because they don't want ads, only up to 20% of that photo can be text. So they have some, like, you can Google it. I don't have it off the top of my head, but they'll like do a test upload and be like, oh, nope, you're too much, or so you can figure that out. But if you have more than 20% of your image is text, they won't even let you post it.
So an example is earlier this year, we put $150 behind a photo to advertise our Ash Wednesday service, and we wanted to reach 200 to 500 people, you know, or more. And after that post, we realized that only 20 people saw that photo. We put $150 behind it, and we wanted XYZ many of people to see it, but only 20 people saw that photo because our language, you know, sort of what Rob said, you know, the photo was scanned, but our language didn't match, or it didn't say what it should have said. It didn't communicate what we probably should have said. So trial and error.
I do have another question. So being multi-site, you guys are multi-site. We get some inspiration from you guys and follow what you guys are doing. So do you do campus-specific posts? Do you have campus-specific pages? And how can we drive people to both campuses on the same page using words and hashtags and all that good stuff?
That is an age-old question that we've changed our philosophy on like 7,000 times. We've literally changed it. We change it even internally, not publicly, but we're like, yeah, let's, and then we change our mind again. Like, so,
I'll pass this to Sydney, but we have campus-specific pages. We have four campuses right now. They all have their own page, and we also have a New Life Church page. So really, we have five pages. But we found that, and we haven't changed this, but we found that if everybody's posting the same thing, then all of our New Life pages are competing. And so we want our congregation or followers or viewers to go to one page, which is the New Life Church page. We just haven't changed it.
One little thing. So just to reinforce what she's saying, we have one page realistically that's the page we engage people on. That's the page we put our effort behind. But the campus specific pages we have given, like, those are ones that we've given the campuses kind of release to kind of use as a bulletin board. Because there might not be a better place for you to keep the campus-specific events at. So, yeah, you can do all that. Like, that's why we have campus-specific Facebook pages, because people have checked in to those addresses so many times that Facebook just made them for us. That's kind of how it happened. So, but again, we do not put any paid anything behind the campus-specific. We don't post central anything on. You know, we it's basically just the campus, for lack of a better term, the Facebook page for the Ghent campus is basically the Ghent campus's bulletin board, which is what Facebook is not supposed to be used for, but it was kind of what we decided worked without hurting our, like, again, we don't want to shoot ourselves in the foot and hurt our own engagement. So
I guess it goes back to not using your social media platform almost to always ask for something, if that makes sense. So we have four campuses, and if four campuses want to have an ask, that means that four posts out of our week are an ask rather than giving people something. So really our only ask throughout the week, to be honest, is Sunday service. That's our only ask. The way I look at it is, imagine if you had a relationship with a friend and 60 to 65% of that conversation was them asking you for something. Attend this. Hey, I'm having a party. Come to my party. Hey, I'm doing this. Come to this. Hey, we're having an announcement, but I'm not going to tell you until 10. Come to my house at 10, and I'll tell you the announcement. You're going to think you're trying to sell you some like essential oil. Exactly. I would love for just the collective church, for our social media places, to become a place where people come to receive something rather than to be asked of something. Does anybody have any more? I really want to help you guys if
question.
We can.
This is actually spinning off to website.
Yeah.
You know, before we talked about how website is kind of like the main hub. It's the front door. That's where everyone's going first. So what are some things that kind of help to boost the website engagement? Because I know that has to be different than the social media engagement. Or like, what are the most important pages to focus on to
build up? So I'm generalizing here because, again, every audience is a little different. Every church is a little different. But your homepage, obviously, is going to be, because if they go to your homepage and they're not grabbed, they're going to leave. So homepage is number one. For a lot of churches, if you either record on audio or video of your sermons, that tends to, so your media page or wherever you post your sermons, that tends to be a very engaged page. And then I would say next is probably the about page, because people who are church shopping are trying to look to see, you know, what do I have to wear, or what's your theology, you know, so you know, how do I get there, that kind of stuff. So obviously your website can have tons of other pages, you know, ministry specific pages or your staff page or whatever, but I would say your media page, your about page, and your home page are probably your three bread and butter pages.
I would say people follow your values. Like our, most people, 80% of the people who go to our website come from Facebook, and they go straight to our life group page. They go to our media page, like Rob suggested, and then obviously they're on our homepage, but they're looking for the sermon, they're looking for our podcast, but we're also huge with community, so life groups, and then also missions. Those are our four main pages, but that may not be for Red Church or some of your other ministries, but I would say if your value is posted on your page, make sure that's one of the pages that you've built up, because that's where people are going to go looking for information.
And then in terms of your other part of your question was like, how do you get your page shown? We've learned for us, we link a lot of our social media posts to the website. That's one way to do it. Obviously, you have Google, you know, AdWords and SEO optimization, and that's a whole another breakout, because that's a whole, it's a lot that can go into that. But if you're interested in that, maybe afterwards come up to me and I can point you or give you a couple little helpful things. But that's a gigantic can of worms. Yes.
I'm wondering, are there any, can you give some good strategies for getting more people to tune into your live stream or your podcast?
Good strategies.
I would say if it's for your church, I would say announce it on a Sunday. Like, talk about it on a Sunday. Like, we have a weekly newsletter that goes out every week, and people constantly ask, like, I don't know what's going on? What's going on in the church? I need to know what's happening on Thursday. And I think this past week or past couple of weeks, we actually announced it from the stage. Hey, there's a weekly newsletter. Go here. Made a big deal about it. And then it spiked up. So if you were looking to make your, let's say you want your podcast to become, have more people go towards it, is your podcast just, is it the Sunday service? I may even encourage you to post the Sunday sermon, but if you have time, or if somebody else on staff, or you have a volunteer that has time, maybe even create something that people can only get from the podcast. So whether that's like a 10-minute conversation where somebody's asking the pastor questions about his sermon, or almost like an open forum where it's an older person, a middle-aged person, and a younger person having a 15-minute conversation or dialogue around that sermon, that's something that people can only get from the podcast. So maybe that can drive people towards that.
And then, so with live stream, with podcasts, with all that stuff, this comes back to earlier when I was saying focus on one thing. I know that I was talking about social media, but that can kind of apply to your live stream as well. For most churches in the country, realistically, your live stream is for a small audience. It's for the mom who just had the kid and can't come, or the mom who's had a really rough morning and is like, I'm just not going to make it to church today. My kids are driving me up a wall. Or it comes to the people who are sick, or the people who are traveling on business. Sure. Yeah, so, I mean, if you're on Facebook, if you're doing Facebook Live, for example, if they're following your page, so I would do some posts almost promoting your stream, because they can check a box that lets them know that notifies them when XYZ Church goes live. And obviously that's, you want that, because that's going to guarantee you people, like, they're going to get the ping on their phone. They're going to always tune in probably. But I would just, with live streaming, is keep your expectations. I mean, we're barely baby stepping into the world of doing, you know, live streams to a level where we're trying to engage people outside of the sick person, the traveling member, so don't think you need to have a gigantic audience right away. That's your goal should, like, your live stream should be a tool for that niche people who can't make it that Sunday. That to me is the best part about a live stream, is because it's reaching a handful of people who should be there who can't for some extenuating circumstance.
Another thing that's helped us is staff actually sharing the live stream. And when people see that staff are sharing, then they'll share, and then their friends will share, and their friends will share. So just to piggyback even on what Sydney was saying, just keep it before your congregation. Talk about it. Talk about it from the platform. Put it in the video announcement. Wherever else you advertise certain events at your church.
And utilize your staff and key volunteers, like Terry said, to share and like all of your posts. Not like, don't annoy everyone, but like, I know of churches that in their staff meetings, if they have a big event coming up, the pastor will say, all right, everyone, take out your phone. Everyone share this, because this event's coming up and we want to make it to have as great a reach as possible. So, and it, I mean, that's 10, that's 5, 10, 15, 20 XYZ people that you're guaranteeing are trying to multiply your posts. So utilize the people, your key volunteers and your staff, because they're not going to feel burdened by being asked to do that, because they have a heart for ministry as well.
Okay, so, for example, now I know William back there, and he has an awesome Instagram feed. So I want to recruit people to help me as a volunteer. You guys are paid, you know, you're coming from that paid standpoint. But so what, how are you utilizing volunteers? How are you recruiting them? How are you vetting them? How are you managing the volunteer crowd so that we can get people like William posting for us?
For, it's, okay, this is where it kind of gets like, not really tricky, but it's almost like you have to look at their stuff first. So if somebody's saying, I want to help with Instagram, but all they post are, yeah, if they're not good at social media, you want to check that out as well. But I would encourage you to, this is an amazing way to get younger, responsible people involved. Even still to this day, like, we don't do as many stories as we should. Your Instagram stories is a great way to get a younger person involved. I mean, teenagers post stories daily. You literally could say, hey, your serving role is to capture what you see on a Sunday morning through your stories. Don't post them. You can submit them to us, and then we'll post them later on in the day. That's an amazing way to get them involved. I know youth, get somebody younger to help you. It's I feel like a lot of times with youth pastors, or even just pastors in general, we may not have the budget to hire someone for social media, so someone has to do it. And I would just encourage you to find someone to come alongside you that could help in that area.
And if you use young people, let them use their creativity. Let them use their like, don't put them in a box that they have to fit like exactly what you think the post should look like. Now, obviously, you want to vet it or get them to the point where you can trust them without vetting them. And I think doing like what Sydney said would be how I would, you know, like pastor that situation is I would let them, you know, capture an event live, then but not actually do it live. And then you can vet them. And then once they've done that a few times, then maybe they're going to live do the Insta stories or something, or Facebook stories even if you want to go that route. And because then you've trusted them then, and so you can handle that. And then it can evolve into more, you know, heavy posts and things like that. But I say let them be creative. Let them go to town as long as they're representing the church well. But I think every single person in this room can gauge if they're even going to. They would trust the person first, right? But that's. Yeah, as long as it's a good phone, what you do, what I've done in the past is you'll, like, say they're doing it for the weekend service, you know. So if you have one service or two services, when they first show up, you grab their phone, you log them in, they do the thing, if they're posting live at the time, and then before they leave, you log them out. And you're good to go, because if you're the one logging in, you can make sure it doesn't like save the password or do any of that stuff. So you can be completely, and obviously once you get to the point in really trusting your volunteers, you can kind of leave it logged in on their phone if you're comfortable to do that. That takes, you know, time, but.
What's your favorite website building like? Tool or platform and why? And then what are two websites that we can go to that you think we could be really inspired by just because of their beauty or their engagement?
Okay, church website, well. Mm-hmm. I like, so there is, I really like Church of the Highlands website. There, it's really clean. It's really simple. They're multi-site. I think they do it really well. They have a good balance of showing who they are, but they're also marketing their events. I think one thing churches do wrong on their website is it's just like events. Like that's not. I mean, people go to your website for events, but that's not the only reason people go to your website. So you want to strike that balance of showcasing who you are as a church and what you're doing. So that's a good website. Not a website for inspiration, but. Like Sydney said earlier, Pro Church Tools. They're a podcast, so you can listen. You can go on their website and like read the manuscripts. That gets kind of annoying. So they're a great podcast to listen to. They cover everything you can think of when it comes to church communication and marketing. So from social media to bulletins to stage decor to like they cover everything. And they mostly, I think, kind of keep. In mind for smaller churches. They do things with the small church in mind so that they're not asking you to do like these things that require ridiculous resources or time. So I really recommend Pro Church Tools. In terms of website builders, of like the big boys, I like Squarespace. I think it's the simplest, it's the cleanest, and it also looks the final product tends to look the best. In terms of like one specific for churches, there's a few. I don't know if there's one that I would feel comfortable endorsing because I feel like they all fall short in a certain area that are like church specific. Yeah, I mean, if you have someone who, or you have a budget for it, I recommend building a website through WordPress. It gives you the most long-term functionality. It gives you the ability to kind of do whatever you want, and you're never going to get, like, pigeonholed by a template. Yes, there are templates in WordPress, but it gives you a lot of flexibility outside of that.
And another website is... One more website is Creative Pastor. You go to Creative Pastor.
Man, this is
fun. For those of you who didn't hear that, another website that's good for good resources is Creative Pastor. Creative Pastor.
Yeah. So, as far as like youth, if you're trying to set out events so that the youth are know about it. Like I've always made it so that I don't I like like the males talk to the males and the women talk to the women in private. I don't like, even though like I work with the youth now, but I don't have any of the females. Like I have them like added on social media, but I won't like converse with them privately. Yeah. How do you go about making sure that they are all aware that events are there, and how would you go about communicating with them when you are like, if you're a youth leader and you're the only one there, how would you go about communicating with the females and the youth without actually communicating with them privately?
I mean,
through social media, of course.
I think your Insta stories are going to be, for youth, Insta stories are where you're going to reach them the most. That's where they live. That's the simple answer. I mean, there's a lot of, you can get granular and like, you know, make it your goal to get a key volunteer who is a female who can, you know, reach out to those girls. But I think your Instagram, your stories are going to be your easiest way to promote events. That's where every youth group that I follow, that's where they blast their events, because an Insta story is less, it feels less intrusive to people for some reason. So you can kind of market there a little more without it feeling like too heavy-handed, or you're like you're shoving something down their throat, because it's temporal; it goes away in 24 hours.
Can I read this list off to you? These are the Insta Story apps that I use for New Life. There's six of them. They do ask you to pay a little bit, but that's why I have six of them, so I don't pay, because they all have different templates. So I would say that the total, all the free ones, there may be about 150, 160 templates that you can use for stories where you can like change colors, all that stuff. And these work for photos and videos as well. So the first one is Insta space story. Simple. The second one is Unfold. Unfold. The third one, and this, I don't know if you guys are familiar with like a VU church or like a Zoe church, kind of like the younger churches. This is how they use, this is the one that I would say they use probably. It's called Nichi, N-I-C-H-I. N-I-C-H-I. The fourth one is Insta Stories, one word. And that's, oh, actually, I'm wrong. It's I-N-S-T-O-R-I-E-S, so in stories. Yep. The fifth one is story art, one word. And the sixth one is made, M-A-D-E. And literally, if you look at, if you ever look at our social media or Instagram, you see any of the graphics that are made, I try to not go to Rob for graphics, just because I already know he has so much on his plate. So I make everything myself. I'm not a graphic designer. I didn't go to school for it. I make everything on my phone. I use Over. It's O-V-E-R. And I would encourage you guys to try not to be intimidated by the design that you see coming from other places. What I tend to do is, I'll kind of what Rob says, I'll find a few people that I really like, churches that I really like, and I will literally sit down at night. Sometimes, I mean, when my wife goes to sleep, I'll sit down for an hour, hour and a half, and I will go on over and I will try to literally recreate it as close as possible. And I'll do that a couple of times to the point where I get comfortable. Another social media thing that I use, it is called Photo Cutout. It kind of looks ghetto. So it's Photo Cutout, two words, Photo Cutout. What this allows me to do is kind of like that thing that you saw with Pastor Dan, where he was cut out, but the rest of it wasn't. It literally allows you to go in and like color in with your finger what you want to cut out so that you can place it onto another background. Just ways to try to be creative. I would encourage you guys to go into your app store, go on YouTube, and type in, this is what I do. Graphic design on your phone. Graphic design on your phone, free. And I'll do that like once a month, and it'll pull up different apps that can help you if you are not Rob.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So you guys have an app, right?
We do not have an app.
You don't have an app?
No.
Okay. So I just wanted to know if you had an app. Do you guys foresee getting an app? And I have, before you answer that question, I have an observation. You guys are New Life, Nueva Vida. The budget that you guys have, probably for the three of you, is more than what I make as a pastor. So what I would encourage you for future references, and because I'll forget this, is to have somewhere with you, somebody who's sitting down with you, who has a less of a budget than what you guys have. So it's more, because what you guys are doing is not attainable by Nueva Vida. Make sense?
Absolutely.
So just for future references, I would encourage you to do that, because there's different things of doing things. But the question, are you guys thinking of an app? Is that something that we have an app, actually, but is you guys see that something as a strength?
Short answer, yes, but we're waiting for, I don't want to go too in the weeds here. Yes, we will have an app. I don't want to create more work for ourselves that's unnecessary. So we used to have an app years ago, and it just created a whole load more of work. It's basically like doubling what you had to do for your website, because there's, you had to make sure things back, at least back then, weren't synced. So we're currently in the process of weeding down to find out which app we can best sync with our website, so that once we update it in one place, it's mirroring. So I'm not having to double the workload unnecessarily. And the for lack of a better term, the ROI, the return on investment of an app with the amount of work we had to put into it, wasn't worth it. So once we get to the point where it's kind of just, it's doing it for us, obviously there'll be a little bit of work. I'm not saying there's no work, but then the return on investment in terms of time and engagement is more worth our time, if that makes sense. Yep.
I just wanted to address what you said just about like it being unattainable. I agree kind of, but I don't agree kind of. Like, I did not come from New Life. Like, I'm new in a New Life. I've been in New Life for like 5 months. The church that I was at previously, we had 90 people, like a 90 to 95 people. We met about 25 minutes down the road. And I was doing the same exact thing that I was doing there in terms of not website, but social media. I was doing Instagram. I was doing Facebook. And then I was doing young adult stuff as well. I would just encourage you to, there has to be someone within your congregation. And for our congregation, it was me. I was young. I was already doing Instagram already. I just took a little step back from my own Instagram, and my serving capacity was social media. So I don't want you to think that like you have to have a paid staff person to do social media. This is the perfect way to get a young adult or someone in youth involved. And even when you bring this up to someone who's younger, someone who's a millennial, which is literally 39 and below, stress how important and how much this means to your church. Like, stress the fact that like there are no more church commercials. No one goes to a newspaper to advertise. Like, the way that we're going to get our word out as a church is what I'm trusting you with, and I'm trusting you to run. I just want to encourage you, man. Like, you're exactly where God wants you. He's taking you further, and he's bringing the people around you, and he's going to equip you with what you need to do. So I don't want you to leave here feeling like, yeah.
This is not really a question. It's kind of some insight on youth. I have a 14-year-old that would love a Facebook, which she's not going to get. My oldest daughter, she was 16, and she shared a Facebook with me until she was 17. And if I even allowed her to do anything on social media, it would be Instagram, because I feel like I can follow that more. And I know that Chuck sends out text about, you know, different things and how to get in touch, you know, and just, you know, different things that are happening. But as a, maybe I'm too strict, I don't know. I don't like social media for my children right now. But Instagram is something that I would allow her to do. I mean, they are already, she's like, can I have a Snapchat? And I'm like, no. I just don't feel like that's something that she's old enough to deal with.
I know we don't have that much time, and I'm going to let them go. But if you guys have any questions about Instagram, Facebook, social media, YouTube, Terry will be the person to talk to. I know that sometimes we think social media, and we immediately go to Instagram and Facebook. But actually, YouTube is the most used social media platform. Follow Facebook, Instagram, Slack. If you guys have pins, you can write my email down, your email down. And we'd love to take this conversation further. I know we're going to keep going, but.
Let me get one more resource. There's one more. Have you all heard of, you have the Bible YouVersion. A YouVersion. Did you know?
What is this?
If you contact them, you should be able to via their website. You can partner with them for free to get your church's resources on there. So, for example, if your pastor is doing a Bible study, you can connect with them to put the Bible study up there, or even the sermon notes. It's free resources created by Life.Church. Greg Rochelle, anybody familiar with Greg Rochelle? I encourage you to go to their website, scroll to the bottom, look at their free resources, and they give you a plethora of items that you could pull from, everything from graphics to platforms to social, anything. It's on there. But try YouVersion. Go on there, check it out, and see if you can connect your church to it. It's awesome.
And just piggyback on YouTube, you know, if you want just general church pull, YouTube is also the second biggest search engine in the world over, you know, Google's one, YouTube is above Bing, Yahoo, all those other things. So posting your sermons, if you're not posting them on YouTube, just at a minimum, if you're recording them, I would highly recommend that. Or if not, post any video content you ever get, post it on YouTube. It's going to just pull, it'll help you in the Google, you know, algorithms for for the search engine as well, because they're one company. So you had a question. That is, I am always a believer in case-by-case basis for things like this. I don't think there, I mean, obviously, for me, I would probably want them to have been going to the church for a little while, you know, so they know our culture, they kind of know who we are and what you know, they have an idea of what kind of content they should be producing. Secondly, you know, I don't know I would pick an age as your minimum. I don't know what that age, again, that's going to vary on what, you know, what pool of people you have to work with, right? Because I think if you only have so many young people, if that's the target audience you're trying to pull from, you know, that's going to dictate your rules, you know, because you can't just eliminate all of them and be like, well, we got nothing. I know that's not really answering your question, but to me, it's going to be a case-by-case basis always. Other than that they've been going to the church for, at least a year, at least. I mean, that would be ideal, especially someone. I mean, if it's like a kid who's grown up in the church and they're in eighth or ninth grade, I'd be like, here you go. You know, let's do it. You know, and plus, I mean, I can't tell you how many youth are wanting to be involved, and they're actually not getting pulled on at all. You know, before I did this, I was a youth pastor for a few years, and I would walk out, and I'd be like, why are you just sitting on the couch out here? Like, and there are just so many students that just want someone to bring them in. You know, I can attribute where I'm at in life to being someone pulling me in and getting me involved in middle school. You know, and if that wasn't the case, I don't know where I'd be, you know. But I got involved and learned how to run sound. And that was what made me feel a commitment to the church. And not just New Life, but to the church. Being a volunteer is huge. And I know that's not what we're talking about right now, but in anything that you need in your church, if it's something that you feel like a young person, like that's a middle schooler, a high schooler, or even younger in some circumstances, can do, empower them to do it. Because it's what's going to, you know, I think we as adults have kind of protected the stuff that we've built, and we are kind of alienating and isolating people away from church because we're not getting them involved at a young age.
I would love to even, like, have you guys leaving here with, like, some sort of challenge in terms of social media moving forward. Like, for the next, even until the end of the year, like, have the mindset of every week, if Sundays didn't exist, what would I post? So if Sundays didn't exist, what would I post for my church? Obviously, you couldn't invite them to a Sunday service. So, like, how could you engage with your community, disciple your community, and have fun with your community throughout the week if Sundays didn't exist? My email is Sydney, Sidney, @newlife.global. If you guys have any questions about Instagram or Facebook, or even just want to take it further, I'd love to chat with you. Sydney, actually, it's Rob, R-O-B, just kidding. It's Sydney, Sidney, @newlife.global.
You get a, mine's Rob, R-O-B, @newlife.global. And I love, like, honestly, I sincerely love to answer any questions. And I would, you know, if you want a phone call or a FaceTime or I'd love to help in any way I can. You know, we're in this together. You know, we're a part of this network to strengthen each other, to help each other, to learn from each other. And I'm there's things I know I could learn from you guys as well. And I'm excited to continue this conversation.
I'm Terry, T-E-R-R-I, @newlife.global. If you have any streaming questions, video production questions, digital questions, feel free to email me. And love to help you.
And my Venmo is...
You can just request money from him and annoy him. So, no, but, you know, we've gone way over the hour and 15 minutes this was supposed to be. But I know, so I'll take it. And it's been great. We have technically 4 minutes left. Does anyone have any burning question?
Super quick comment on people: how many people are engaging or not. I am married to a non-engager that sits there laughing his head off, highly encouraged or whatever, and just never even likes it. So just because people aren't liking it, doesn't, like, post it for those ones. Post them for my husband.
Well, yeah, and that's another, I mean, that engagement isn't only likes, right? You know, right. So they can see impressions and things like that, and that's huge. Yeah.
There's something else.
Any other?
Oh, the other thing was about time of day that you post. I've heard, and you probably guys know this, about algorithms, like the quicker people respond, and if there's conversation going on right away, then that's going to boost it. So, like, if you post at 2 a.m. and nobody responds, correct, it might be a great post, but the time of day is important because of that.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, you just want to post it when your audience is most likely to be on their phone, basically. Which, honestly, it's like throwing a dart now because everyone's on their phones all the time. So,
in our area, that they actually have an engagement team. They have an engagement team. A lot of them are young adults. They have an engagement team, and basically, it's on Instagram. They'll turn their post notifications on, and there's about 15 of them. And as soon as it comes up, they'll immediately go to it, like, and comment something that has to do with the actual post to get the conversation going. So that's an idea, too.
Definitely plant people that you trust in your congregation to engage.
Obviously, I wouldn't make it staff members. It looks kind of fishy. So pick a few key people that you trust to try to start the conversation. Because like many things in life, it only takes that one person to make the snowball effect happen. So
I feel like I'm full of random facts today, but I was thinking about depression posts or suicide posts or things like that when you were talking about timing. And I found that some of the best times to post, that's why I was talking about trial and error, is those people are up at midnight. You know, they're up at 2 o'clock in the morning. So if that's an audience that you're wanting to reach, throw time out of the window and say, okay, I'm going to post this at midnight, because they're up scrolling, thinking about whatever it is that they're thinking about. So
that's good.
Actually, you can you can contact Latanya Johnson. She is
info@onefocus.global.
Info@onefocus.global.
Mm-hmm.